This evening's scripture reading will come from Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "For it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out from the mouth of God."
Anthony told me I needed to give him more verses to read. Next time I'm going to have him read the first chapter of Matthew. You don't like all those names? Okay. All right. So, Mickey did a really good job talking about the temptation of Christ a few weeks ago. So don't worry, I'm not going to cover that again. But I do want to talk about this in a different way. You know, we live in a world that claims to value authenticity. Our consumer culture has kind of hijacked the word authentic to describe everything from guacamole to toilet bowl cleaners. You know, oh, this is an authentic guacamole. Has it got avocado in it? Okay, great. I'm good to go, right? So, that's a word that's been thrown around a lot in recent years. It's also a word that people try to use in worship to God. Is your worship authentic? And so, one of the things that I read recently regarding millennials and church is that millennials are turning away from congregations with big bands and rock and roll type services, and they're turning towards more authentic worship. They're turning towards congregations where they can connect more with the Lord and with other people. They're not looking for that experience in worship where they just get all hyped up. Now, I don't know if that's totally true, but congregations that do that are not growing as fast as they used to. The article that I read indicated that that's because a whole bunch of congregations turned to doing that. They experienced rapid growth because they pulled in more rock-like concerts. They adhered to the idea that, you know, people will come if we entertain them, okay? And so when everybody's doing it, which everybody isn't, but when a lot of the Christian world is doing it, we'll just say it that way, there's fewer places where you can differentiate between one place or another. And people can pick and choose, or they can get tired of whatever's going on here and go on somewhere else. So this word authentic or authenticity is the way I want to relate that tonight is not only in our worship, but also in understanding God's desire for us to be authentic Christians. So if we go back over to Matthew chapter 4, in verse 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that those stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." So Jesus refers Satan to the word to be preferred over physical bread. We often look for the bread of this life rather than the bread that God refers us to in this passage. You know, we think, well, he's just telling Satan, look to the bread. No, he's telling us as well. We need to look to what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God, not physical bread. Okay? People look for bread as the easy path. They look for bread that looks like it's more practical, or they look for bread that looks like it's more real. How many times have you heard a brother or a sister say something like, well, you know, God's not going to do this for me in my life. I got to do what's practical or what's real. I've got to adhere myself to worldly wisdom. I have to do what's right for me because that's what happens in this world, rather than depending upon God. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was starving. He'd been out in the wilderness for 40 days. He hadn't eaten a thing. And I bet that bread that was sitting in front of him looked pretty real. And I bet he could have made the argument, you know, it'd be practical for me to eat this bread. I'd be stronger and I could go out and I could serve more people. And it's here now if I want to make it that way. Turn these rocks to bread. You know, that might be a good idea. Satan really was hitting him in a hard place. But Satan hits us in that same hard place. He dares us to do things that we think might be good for us that aren't. He dares us to think in earthly terms, not in holy terms. So what is it about God's word that makes it more sufficient than that kind of bread? God's word is truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." God's word is truth. And sanctification allows us to be set apart, if you will, for God's work. If you're basing your life on truth, you make better decisions. If you're making your life based upon truth, then you can be at peace and you can be content with the decisions that you make, knowing that you are faithful to what was right. The bread that the Scripture gives us is better than the bread of this life, because it sets us apart. God's word is truth. God's word is powerful. Turn with me over to Jeremiah 23, and we'll read verse 28 and following. "The prophet who has a dream may report his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word truthfully. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is my word not like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and reported them and led my people astray by their lies and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them nor command them, nor do they provide this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord." You had people that claimed to be godly that were misrepresenting God's word. They were misleading people the wrong way, these prophets. But the Lord never said some of those things. But the Lord defends his words by calling them like fire, and calling it a hammer which shatters a rock. What do they always tell you when you use a hammer on rock? Put your safety goggles on, right? Because you hit that rock and things are going to splinter off of there. Or how many times have you seen where there's a big, massive boulder and they want to divide it in half and they drill little holes in it and then they put pieces of iron in the little holes and then they take that hammer and hit the iron all along it and it precision breaks that rock right in half. The Lord's word is powerful. Again, Satan tries to tell us that God's word is meaningless in this world. It was written 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. What in the world does that have to say to me in modern times? It says a lot. You know, if there's a family that's broken in this world, do you think they could go back and read about Abraham? There's a family that had some issues. We're still dealing with some of those issues today. Do you think the Bible has something today about, has something to say about promiscuity? Do you think it has something to say about dealing with drugs and alcohol? Go read Solomon. Do you think it has something to say about physical relationships between a man and a woman? Solomon had lots of wives and concubines, and he has some things to say about that. The Bible is relevant, and it's powerful, and it will tell us where we need to direct our life. The Bible also comforts us. God's word in John 14, 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you." It also says in John 16, 13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come." The Scriptures are that disclosure. They tell us God's will. How many people in this life are looking for answers, are looking for direction? How many people are sad or depressed or frustrated or angry and they're looking for answers? We can find those in the Scriptures. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is a flame. God's Word sets us apart. We understand that the Word also sets us free. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, or the Scripture says, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, 'If you continue in My word, then you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered Him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you.'" You know, this passage, the Jews were trying to claim their salvation based on their heritage. They were not trying to understand that Jesus was the answer. And Jesus was telling them, if you know the truth will set you free. The truth will set us free. There's nothing more than clarity when it comes to understanding the truth. You see a clear view. If I go this way and follow what is not true, I'm not going to get to where I need to go. But if I know that something is true and I follow that path, I know that I'm headed the right direction. The truth is extremely important and should not be played with. The truth sets us free because it brings salvation. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age. I can't think of anything better in this life than to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly. Wow, amazing revelation, live sensibly. Have you ever talked to somebody and say, you just need to live sensibly? And they look at you like, what are you talking about, live sensibly? That's boring. Go for the gusto. Where's your gusto getting you? We know that the truth sets us free because it purifies the soul. 1 Peter 1:21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word purifies us. How does it do that? It sets in us, hear the Word, believe. What's that lead to? When you hear and you believe, you repent of the things you've been doing. And then you confess what is right, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you obey it. How does it purify us? It changes our heart to where we think differently. It changes us that we now follow the right path. You know, Karen and I have been on a few trips over the years, and occasionally the driver has gone down the wrong path. It feels really good when you get back on the road, as long as you don't spend a whole lot of time regretting how much time you wasted trying to figure out where you're going. But it's much better when you're headed down the right road. And I can't think of anything stronger in our life than if our life is headed down the right road. God's Word sets us free because it makes a man God's man. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. You want to get into the Word, you're going to become God's man or God's woman. You're going to be able to flip your badge out and say, I'm God's man. Right? No badges. But it is important for us to think of ourselves as belonging to God. It's important for us to think of ourselves as people who are living with a certain purpose. And the truth of God's Word will enable us to do that, to head in the right direction. So, authenticity is essential to our Christian lives. And I'm glad to hear that there are more young people that are looking for authenticity rather than flash. It gives me hope for the future. I hope that you're looking for authenticity in your congregational life, in our worship, most importantly, in our personal salvation. Turning the stones into bread would have been a rejection of the Word of God and an acceptance of the word of Satan. So let's always strive to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Bread on the table satisfies for a little while, but God's truth satisfies forever. This evening, if we can help you lead a more authentic life, either by responding to the gospel, or maybe you've had some struggles and you need some help from the brethren, that's what we're here for. We want to see you free. We want you to see you leading a life that is based on good information and is headed in the right direction. Please come while we stand and sing.